This is exciting, little ones. I want to share some things today, hopefully, that just like every day, I've made new discoveries when I do research, and I can't talk about everything, I'm sure, because there isn't time. But let's get into it. Carl Jung said, until you make, well, first of all, the day's date, Friday, August 18th, 2023, 1928 hours Eastern Daylight Time, Ward Green with you again. Now, Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychiatrist, said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life, and you will call it fate. Fate, in other words, you won't be in control. Now, Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, said, whoever talks a lot often fails. Now, the Bible is fully supportive of that idea, I believe, that the one who doesn't speak much is believed to be wise, according to the Bible, for example. Now, let's go to Mark Twain, the famous American humorist. Clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence in society. The Root Cause documentary from 2018, we have an excerpt or a clip for today.
I felt bad because I had done I'd done a lot of those, and I actually had thought at one point that that's what I wanted to do the rest of my life. I thought, how can this be? You know, this is something that's been going on for so long. There's a whole specialty around it. But whenever colleagues started presenting me with different pieces of research, I obviously came to the conclusion that I did not want to do root canal treatment anymore personally. I could not confidently say that I was not doing harm in some situations.
The bottom line is when you do a root canal, it cuts the flow of energy to these different organs and can affect them.
You can't get rid of an infection unless you have a viable immune system with complete access to all the parts that are infected. And this is uniformly eliminated when a root canal is done.
The analogy that I like to use, in my office, there's a sliding door. You are on one side of the door with the door closed and you have Christmas lights in your hand. You want to know if all the lights light up. I am on the other side of the sliding door and I have an extension cord.
Skip saw a biological dentist and the first thing he spotted was...
So it looks like he doesn't try on your front tooth.
Yep, that punch in the mouth. Why was I such a sucker for a damsel in distress?
So let's have a look at the x-ray here. And all this discoloration is where the infection is. So we've got a deep pocket infection up top, and that's what's been causing your health issues. So we're gonna extract the root canal tooth, and with a dental burr, we're gonna remove the periodontal ligament down to the bone, and then we'll give you a new tooth, a zirconian tooth, and we'll bridge it to either side. So in the next 3 or 4 months, this will heal up nicely, and you'll notice a dramatic increase in your energy levels. Any questions? All right, let's do this.
Now, I don't want you to think that as soon as you get your tooth out, you'll wake up with boundless energy. The damage has been done. So you have to heal yourself and go through those things like the parasite cleanse, liver cleanse, kidney cleanse, colon cleanse, TBM, soreness, fasting.
And you're convinced of the information I'm talking about and the science behind it. You want to get it out of your body. You want it to have it stop negatively impacting your health. Well, you need to find a dentist who knows what he or she is doing, because it involves more than a simple extraction.
Removing the root canal tooth is only the first step in the solution. Afterwards, we have to drain the area from the bacteria, because the jaw bones, they are not like a stone, they are sponges, bones, and the bacteria and the toxins go into these bones too. This has to be drained and treated too.
And this is where I also find ozone gas so indispensable, because you can just punch with a very tiny needle, you go into the area and then you inject ozone gas, and that gas will go off into all the areas off this main tunnel, all the areas where we have infection. It's really interesting because I've had people where we've injected down here and they'll feel the gas travel all the way over to the other side, where they'll feel it travel all the way up under the eye. There was no way you're going to do surgery and clean out a whole person's jawbone. And it's interesting how as treatment goes on with the gas, they feel that that area where it's going off into shrinking.
This jawbone area has a very dense nerve network. These nerves don't relay. You know, it's not like here goes to the spinal cord or somewhere else. These nerves go right into the middle of the brain where the regulation of the nervous system occurs. They're called cranial nerves. This cranial nerve is the biggest one in the body, and it goes right into there. And this is a very delicate and protected area. So that if someone has a chronic smoldering infection with biotoxin in this area, it can affect their brain, the regulation of their brain, their energy, and lots of other things.
For example, we had a woman with so-called Hashimoto's disease, an autoimmune problem, and it was coming from...
That's good. So let's stop it right there. It's something like 28. It's not quite that. It's not quite right. The mouse. By the way, I've had no more problems with my mouse locking up. The problem was, I had too many things connected to the drive dock, to the Thunderbolt dock, to which the mouse was connected. It had too many other things connected, too many drives. So I connected the hard drives to other places in my system, and that solved the problem, apparently. So it's 5023. Let's write that down. That's the end of today's point. More like about 5020, I guess. 5023, though. Good. Okay, that's good. Okay, it's one more thing I forgot to write down. I want these notes to be any time transferable. So I got to put the year in for absolute, avoidance of ambiguity. So that's it. We're going on to our song for today. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song. It never really hit the charts except Josh Groban's version did hit the charts and became number one in the U.S. on one chart, the Adult Contemporary Billboard chart. And it probably should have done better than that because it's such a wonderful song. I don't know why, but it didn't do better than that. And that was from the year 2004 through 2012. That was the best it did over those 8 years. But it had a long, obviously a long duration, 8 year duration on the charts. That's pretty significant. You can't get higher than number one, but there was only one chart that produced that. Still, the best version, I believe, is this version we're going to listen to, which is by Johnny Logan. And it was done possibly earlier than the Josh Groban version, which was released in 2003. But it was, the song was written by, let's find it here, Rolf Loveland. And that was the music part, and the lyrics were written by Brandon Graham. It was first recorded by Secret Garden, that's the name of the band, and in collaboration with Brian Kennedy. I think Brian Kennedy is a singer, so that's where his name comes in. But that was not the one that we're going to listen to. The one we're going to listen to is 2003 American singer Josh Groban singing this. I believe that's who it is. And it's brilliant, but I have one comment on it I'll tell you later. This song from 2003, featuring vocalist Johnny Logan, it's called You Raise Me Up.
Thank you. troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more.
Now, the only criticism I have of that is that it would have been good if he could hit on the last vocal note an octave higher. That would have, you know, changed. In other words, don't repeat the exact same musical line twice at the end, because the song is so phenomenal. Just a little something different at the end. And this is only one idea, would be to make the last note an octave higher. But this band, Secret Garden, The violin that we're hearing there, I believe it's from the one half of the band Secret Garden, the other half of which is Rolf Loveland, or Loveland. But the singer, Fionnu Alasheri, is the other half, and she's also a violinist, I believe. But she wasn't singing there, of course. That was Johnny Logan, I believe. But that was, I'd never even heard that version till today. Never. Anyway, it's Born and Raised, our article, chapter 4, paragraph 12. Daniel 9 and 2 mentions the 70 years prophesied concerning the devastations of Jerusalem. From Jeremiah's word, at, quote, the beginning of the kingdom of Jehoiakim, unquote, in BCE 608, in brackets, the Blessed Genealogy, end bracket, years fulfilled when Cyrus took Babylon, BCE 539. That would be 70 years inclusive, and then began his official year one as king in BCE 538. That's 70 years. Exclusive, right? It is most curious to note how the year of Jerusalem's destruction in 70 of the Common Era features the exact same number, quote, 70, unquote. That is the year in the Common Era, 70 CE, of when Jerusalem was destroyed. That's the same number as the number of years prophesied by Daniel 9 and 2 concerning the devastations of Jerusalem. That's interesting. Daniel 9 and 2 mentions the 70 years. Yeah, right. And that was Daniel writing about Jeremiah's prophecy. So we've spoken about that or written about it before, or we've read that already, I think, somewhere in our previous studies. But it is most curious to note how the year of Jerusalem's destruction in 70 of the Common Era features the exact same number, 70, showing the Creator's divine wisdom, since the choice of the Common Era's beginning was the work of men long after 1 CE, somewhere in the 6th century CE. Only Jehovah could permit things to happen in such a way as to bring this about. The birth year of Christ is another example of how the later choices permitted by Jehovah. Permitted by Jehovah cause numbers taken according to the Common Era to exhibit wisdom. For example, BCE 6. That's according to the Common Era. Wherever, if you position the beginning of the Common Era differently, it's just a place, it's an arbitrary place where you decide the Common Era begins. But because of where it's placed, this number is 6, BCE 6. Which is the birth of Christ, and it also displays the number one less than the divine number 7 as a numerical reminder of Jesus being the Son of Man, quote, the Son of Man, unquote. It's a biblical statement of Jesus being the Son of Man, and 6 is a man's number, the Bible also says. So also, the 40 years from the crucifixion in 30 CE to 70 CE at Jerusalem's destruction also fulfills Ezekiel 4 and 6 with regard to the days of Judah being 40 years. See chapter 1, paragraph 11. And look up the references 2 to 4 below, the footnotes, if you want to know more about the previous sentence. Thus, the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 is not the only one fulfilled by first century events, nor by Messiah. Yet Daniel 9 confirms our blessed genealogy as it applies to the first century and to Jesus Christ. That's what we've been studying. So Daniel 9 has a great deal to say what we've learned. Even though in this paragraph we're not talking about Daniel 9, still not much anyway. Still, Daniel 9, we know from our previous reading of this article, Born and Raised, it confirms our blessed genealogy as it applies to the first century and to Jesus Christ, our Lord. This, now, is our first attempt to study Jesus in detail as to his birth, baptism, ministry, death, and what their dates are relative to Herod's rebuilding of the temple in BCE 20. Herod Agrippa I's death in 44 CE. The killing of Sejanus by Tiberius Caesar, 31 CE. The war between the Romans and the Jews, 66 to 70 CE, Masada, 73 to 74 CE, and how the prophecy of Daniel casts light upon all of it. That's the end of our study for today in the Born and Raised article. Our proverb for today, little ones, is from Proverbs 12. A capable wife, verse 4, is a crown to her owner, but as rottenness in his bones is she that acts shamefully. So women are included in the Bible, certainly. Very important role they do have. Our reading from Deuteronomy is from Deuteronomy 9. Moses continues to speak to the Israelites in the plains alongside the Jordan River opposite Jericho. He says, "Hear, O Israel, you are today crossing the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and mightier than you are, cities great and fortified to the heavens, a people great and tall, the sons of Anakim, about whom you yourself have known, and you yourself have heard it said, quote, who can make a firm stand before the sons of Anak? End quote. And you well know today that Jehovah your God is crossing before you, a consuming fire he is. He will annihilate them, and he himself will subdue them before you, and you must dispossess them and destroy them speedily, just as Jehovah has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart when Jehovah your God pushes them away from before you, this, it was for my own righteousness that Jehovah has brought me in to take possession of this land. Whereas it is for the wickedness of these nations that Jehovah is driving them away from before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going in to take possession of their land. In fact, it is for the wickedness of these nations that Jehovah your God is driving them away from before you. And in order to carry out the word that Jehovah swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you must know that it is not for your righteousness that Jehovah God is giving you this good land to take possession of it, for you are a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you have provoked Jehovah your God in the wilderness from the day that you went out of the land of Egypt until your coming to this place. You people have proved rebellious in your behavior with Jehovah. Even in Horeb, you provoked Jehovah to anger so that Jehovah got incensed at you to the point of annihilating you. When I went up the mountain to receive the stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant that Jehovah had concluded with you, and I kept dwelling in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, I neither ate bread nor drank water. Then Jehovah gave me the 2 tablets of stone written upon with God's finger, and upon them were all the words that Jehovah had spoken with you in the mountain out of the middle of the fire in the days of the congregation. And it came about that at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, Jehovah gave me the 2 tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And Jehovah proceeded to say to me, get up, go down quickly from here, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have acted ruinously. They have turned aside quickly from the way about which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten image. And Jehovah went on to say this to me, I have seen this people, and look, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may annihilate them and wipe out their name from under the heavens, and let me make you a nation mightier and more populous than they are. After that I turned and went down from the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire, and the 2 tablets of the covenant were in both my hands. Then I looked, and there you had sinned against Jehovah your God. You had made yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way about which Jehovah had commanded you. And I took hold of the 2 tablets and flung them down from both my hands and shattered them before your eyes. And I proceeded to prostrate myself before Jehovah, not prostrate. I proceeded to prostrate myself before Jehovah as at first 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin that you had committed in doing evil in the eyes of Jehovah so as to offend him, for I was scared because of the hot anger with which Jehovah had got indignant at you to the point of annihilating you. However, Jehovah listened to me also that time. At Aaron, too, Jehovah got very incensed to the point of annihilating him, but I made supplication also in behalf of Aaron at that particular time. And your sin that you had made, the calf, I took, and I proceeded to burn it in the fire and to crush it, grinding it thoroughly until it had become fine like dust, after which I threw its dust into the torrent that was descending from the mountain. Further at Taberah and at Massa, and at Kibroth Hatteavah, you proved yourselves provokers of Jehovah to anger. and when Jehovah sent you out of Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and take possession of the land that I shall certainly give you, then you rebelliously behaved against the order of Jehovah your God, and you did not exercise faith toward him, and did not listen to his voice. You have proved yourselves rebellious in behavior with Jehovah from the day of my knowing you. So I kept prostrating myself before Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights, for I prostrated myself thus because Jehovah talked of annihilating you. And I began to make supplication to Jehovah and to say, O sovereign Lord Jehovah, do not bring to ruin your people, even your private property. Private property whom you redeemed with your greatness, whom you brought out of Egypt with a strong hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not turn your face to the hardness of this people and their wickedness and their sin, for fear the land out of which you brought us may say, because Jehovah was unable to bring them into the land that he had promised them, because he hated them. Also, he brought them out to put them to death in the wilderness. They are too your people and your private property, whom you brought out with your great power and your outstretched arm. That's the end of Deuteronomy chapter 9. Our reading in 2 Corinthians is the last chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, his second letter, he says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. At the mouth of two witnesses, or of three, every matter must be established. I have said previously, and as if present the second time, and yet absent now, I say in advance to those who have sinned before, and to all the rest, that if ever I come again, I will not spare, since you are seeking a proof of Christ speaking in me. Christ, who is not weak toward you, but is powerful among you. True indeed, he was impaled owing to weakness, but he is alive owing to God's power. True also, we are weak without him, or with him, sorry. True also, we are weak with him. Now, pay attention to that. That's different. But we shall live together with him owing to God's power and God's power toward you. Keep testing whether you are in the faith. Keep proving what you yourselves are. Or do you not recognize that Jesus Christ is in union with you? Unless you are disapproved, I truly hope you will come to know we are not disapproved. Now we pray to God that you may do nothing wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may be doing what is fine, though we ourselves may appear disapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. We certainly rejoice whenever we are weak, but you are powerful, and for this we are praying you are being readjusted. That is why I write these things while absent, that when I am present, I may not act with severity according to the authority that the Lord gave me to build up and not to tear down. Finally, brothers, continue to rejoice, to be readjusted, to be comforted, to think in agreement, to live peaceably, and the God of love and of peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones send you their greetings. The undeserved kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sharing in the Holy Spirit be with all of you. That concludes the book of 2 Corinthians, the letter from Paul to the Corinthian congregation in Achaia, Greece. So, we are concluding that. We're now 3 minutes remaining. We have a little bit of time. Well, I've got some interesting reports, but I maybe have to wait until I've confirmed them more. But I got different results from what I had gotten before. There's still a problem with my car, but it's possibly the major problem may be fixed. It's possible. And I had to fix it myself. I had light bulbs. This is the amazing part. I had blown out light bulbs. They were blown out according to how they looked. They looked dark and blown out when a light bulb disintegrates the filaments. But the filaments didn't look like they were disintegrated at all. That's the ironic part. When I measured the resistance with my ohm meter, I couldn't believe it because I got zero. 0 ohms is not usually possible because even the wires that you use to measure it, the impedance, have some resistance, but it measured zero. So now maybe it was zero on a scale of, you know, hundreds of ohms or something. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, because I got that reading, I thought, well, maybe it's better to make it an infinite resistance. That's what it should be. When the bulb blows out, it should be an infinite resistance. So I took the bulbs out, and then I went for a drive, and the alternator worked to charge the battery. It was a much better voltage I had on the battery when I got back. And the alternator read 14 volts for almost the whole drive, but it was reading 13.82. It was 14.2 at the start, or 14.1. But it fluctuates a lot while you're driving and when you're sitting still, too. But that alternator voltage is brought through to the socket, the power port inside the car. And that's where I measured it, using a little meter that I have plugged in there. So this thing, it was 14.1. It dropped to 13.8 at the end. But then I asked the question on a Google search, is it possible that the alternator voltage can be lower at the end of a drive, where the car gets warm, the engine gets warm, everything gets warm, all the wiring warms up. Could that be a lower voltage from the alternator? And apparently it can. So looks like, but the main telling thing is that the cold cranking amps were less on the drive I took before, after driving the same route roughly, than it was when I left my own carport. Whereas this today it was much higher, the cold cranking amps. So we're done our study. This is amazing, this discovery I made today. And now August 18th, it is 2023, it's 2000 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Hard to believe. It's changing now to 2001, but that's what it was a moment ago. So I'm Ward Green, telling you that I love you. I have Annie with me here, and Dusty also, and they are saying, on my behalf, bye for now.